I'm going to take you back. We're going to cover some history here today. And we're going to start back in about 1934, actually. And so it's going to take longer than... No, I'm kidding. But that is where we're starting. Think Second World War. And we'll kind of go from there. When Adolf Hitler came into power in 1934, Germany began to violate the terms of the Treaty of Versailles, which was in place after World War I. Those violations, including increasing Germany's military might above the allotted levels, the militarization of the Rhineland, or the lands in Germany over on the west side of Germany, the occupation of Austria, the occupation of Czechoslovakia, and ultimately the invasion of Poland, the steady erosion of the Treaty of Versailles came to a head, actually, when Germany invaded Poland in the fall of 1939, so not to worry, we already did 5 years, with Britain and France at that time upon the invasion of Poland, with Britain and France declaring war on Germany. British expeditionary forces joined the French army near the Belgian border and prepared for war with Germany. But instead of immediate conflict, there began a period between September of 1939 and May of 1940 known as the Phony War. During this time, the Germans contemplated their next move, and the Allies simply waited to see what that move would be. On May 10th, the day Winston Churchill became Prime Minister, they found out exactly what the Germans were going to do when they attacked the Netherlands and Belgium to gain access to the ports of the English Channel. This move was also intended to create a diversion designed to lure the Allied troops north while the Germans prepared for a secret assault on France further south in an area known as the Ardennes, a hilly, forested area that spans portions of Belgium, Luxembourg, and France. It worked. The Allies have been waiting for just such a move, that attack on Belgium and the Netherlands, and they went full on to protect the Belgian and the Netherlands from that attack and ignored threats to the south. Because while the Germans were blitzkrieging on the Netherlands and Belgium, at the same time, news was reaching the Allied command that there was what was described as a huge military traffic jam along the road to the Ardennes. Remember, that's this portion kind of on the northeast side of France and in part of Belgium and the Netherlands, kind of this hilly, forested area. Reconnaissance planes, French reconnaissance planes, spotted and reported that there was this huge military traffic jam of sorts occurring over there. But despite the direct visual evidence from these pilots who had eyes on and pictures of, the commander of the French forces, General Gamelin, commander-in-chief of all the French forces, refused to believe the report. He refused to believe the report, stating that it is impossible. It can't be true. And so he ignored that intelligence, and the Germans had guessed correctly that the French would never expect an attack to come through the Ardennes the difficult way. But that's exactly what the Germans did. They then swung around the Allied forces to the west and essentially encircled the Allied troops. While they were attacking into Belgium, the Germans came around to the south and surrounded the Allied forces, the French and the British, and then you know what happened next. They were all pinned in Dunkirk, right? You've all heard of the Dunkirk, the war in Dunkirk, and the need, the invasion, and the need to rescue those soldiers. That's what happened when France's commander, Gamelin, ignored the direct reconnaissance that his pilots had reported. Gamelin's decision to ignore the threat in the Ardennes led to the near annihilation of the Allied forces, but for the heroic efforts by civilians to evacuate the soldiers. As a result, General Gamelin was dismissed from his position on May 19th, so a very short period of time, and more than half of France was occupied when they surrendered in late June of 1940. Amazingly quick how all of this happened. Now, God delivered the Allied armies, but many historians assert that had the French commander taken the reconnaissance team's information seriously, they would have had the German army at their mercy. The military bottleneck had left the German artillery incredibly vulnerable. They literally were stacked up like in a traffic jam. They couldn't move. They could have been bombed. They could have just destroyed their entire fleet of armaments in pretty much one fell swoop. As I say, historians assert that the French commander might have ended the war had they taken that warning seriously. So they could have potentially bombed the Armada, ultimately the Germans, into submission, and likely ended the war at that time. Instead, you know what happened. The war lasted for five more years, ending in May 8th of 1945. Now, I cannot help but wonder if French Commander Gamelin ever said or thought, and this is the title of my message, "If Only I Had Listened." I'm sure we can all think of times in our own lives when we have held this sentiment, "If only I had listened." This message, I hope, encourages you and me to examine whether we are listening to what God is telling us. What follows is just one example of something that we need to listen to and take seriously, but the greater purpose is to motivate us to ask, what is God working in me, both to will and to do for His good pleasure, and where is He telling me that I need to think about something in a different way? And you can reference Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, and chapter 3, verse 15, for those last two thoughts. What is God working in me, both to will and to do for His good pleasure, and where is He telling me that I need to think about something in a different way? So now that example that I want to give, and I'll go through this fairly quickly, but the Bible is telling us, and we need to take very seriously this fact as an example. Satan wants to devour you and I. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, we read, and we probably read this fairly often, but we must take it seriously. We must believe what it says. And it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Do you believe that? Do I believe that? We must believe that, and we must live our lives accordingly. Verse 9 says, "Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." Along these similar lines, Satan wants you and I to fail. He wants us to fail. In fact, the closer we get to success, the more he wants us to fail, the more vehement his efforts and actions to get us to fail. In Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32, it says, "The Lord said to Simon, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." Satan wants you and I to fail. But God shows us the way to victory. God shows us how to be victorious against this arch enemy who wants to destroy every single one of us. And we see at least one spot here related to this in James 4, verse 7 and 8, where God shows us the way to victory against Satan who wants to attack us so much. And it's this, James 4, 7 and 8. "Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Satan wants to devour you and I. Satan wants you and I to fail. But God does show us the way to victory. And if we regularly look at this book and read the examples, we find out there's a whole host of examples warnings and reconnaissance, in a sense, biblical reconnaissance, telling us what we should be aware of and what we should be warned of and what potentially can come into our life and harm us. In Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses," we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses as evidenced and recorded in the pages of our Bibles that warns us. It is our witness. We have a cloud of witness. So therefore, we should act accordingly. We should take these things that we read seriously and live our lives accordingly, seriously. And I'm going to continue in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It says, "Therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down on the right hand of the throne of God." We have the reconnaissance. We know what to do if we just listen. You know, it's easy to point the finger at Commander Gamelin, the French commander. It'd be easy to say, boy, he really failed. But like the old saying, when you point your finger at someone, there are three fingers pointing back at you. How often have you and I failed to heed wise counsel and biblical instruction and faced outcomes that impacted us and likely others in our lives, potentially over the course of many years? The days of unleavened bread are nearly upon us. Not only is this a time to get the old leaven out, but to partake in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, God's word. Let us endeavor to listen to whatever it is that God is telling us as we go through this time of intense examination, self-examination. As it says in James chapter 1 and verse 22, "Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." General Gamelin ignored information that could have potentially ended or shortened the war. He missed an opportunity to make life better for himself, his country, and even for the whole world. We can do the same thing. In other words, we can fail just like he did. No, not on the same scale. But we can ignore and neglect just like Gamelin did. Notice James chapter 1, verse 25. "He who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, hears it and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." Friends and brethren, we have the opportunity that Gamelin missed to succeed by hearing and doing and eventually helping make better the whole world. If we draw close to God, hear and do what he says, then never again will we have to say, "If only I had listened."